We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
There we go. Now we can hear us. Thanks, Matt. He pushed the right button. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Last week, we talked a little bit about Tesla and how they're going to hit the 200,000 car mark and that tax subsidy is going to go away. And there's all sorts of concerns if the subsidy goes away, if people are not going to buy their $100,000 cars, and if they're not going to get their $7,500 in tax credits. And I talked about how distasteful it was for most of us. You know, if you want to buy a car, a $100,000 car, I'm a capitalist pig. Go ahead. Buy three of them for all I care. But don't make me subsidize it. So that's going away. And it turns out, literally, the Germans agree with me. German Tesla drivers are told to return the $4,600 electric subsidy they were getting for their Model S's because they're more than $60,000. The Germans are the same thing. Guys, if you can afford a $60,000 car, we're not going to give you $5,000 to buy it. And they're going to literally claw it back from folks who have taken the subsidy as out of their taxes. And so any car you bought in Germany before March 6th, and you receive the so-called environmental bonus. We can discuss whether or not a Tesla is more environmentally friendly or not, considering the manufacturer could also produces an awful lot of carbon. But they are being asked to give back their $4,600 subsidy because the Germans are saying this is ridiculous.
So what the government gives, the government can take it away.
And so it was kind of really funny because I had some folks that drive Teslas that are upset with my feelings on subsidizing $100,000 vehicles, but the Germans agree with me. Now, Germany, the funny thing about Germany, well, it's not that funny. If you're an electric ratepayer in Germany, you pay the highest electric rates on the planet because they use subsidies through their electric bills to cover solar. And Germany itself has got tons of solar out there, but they just, you know, they bill you for it through your electric bill. So instead of having lower electric rates, they have the highest that you can find because of how they approach their green energy.
You mean it costs more to run solar than it costs to do?
Well, it seems to be because they're still paying for all those panels up there. What do you got, Bob?
Well, I got a bunch. I know we talked about this other one, but since you brought it up about the energy thing, the Apple Watch, Fitbit, you like that? Those are pretty good items, aren't they?
I guess.
Yeah. They could be hit with Trump's tariffs on China-produced goods.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So,
of course, everything's being hit by tariffs.
Gadgets like Apple Watches, Fitbit activity trackers, and Sonos speakers could be impacted by the $200 billion list of U.S. tariffs on goods made in China, government rulings show.
Mm-hmm.
So the article goes on why, because they're considered in a classification that they transmit, you know, signals, something like that.
Yeah.
But they're going to exempt iPhones. So,
oh, they are.
Yeah. Trump promised Tim Cook that wouldn't happen. So I got an article on that. I don't want to talk about it too much.
Well, yeah, the tariffs are a big mess. We'll see what happens with all those.
Anyway, we were talking about off air. Waymo hits 8 million self-driven test miles.
Waymo. That just reminds me of like something I used to pick, you know, in the 70s, Whammo or something like that.
Yeah, I remember. Right. Slip and slide.
Yeah, right. But this is not a slip and slide. This has to be, autonomous vehicles. Well, hopefully it's not a slip and slide.
Anyway, CEO John Krafcik says the company is now amassing 25,000 miles of autonomously driven test miles every day.
Wow.
Waymo's autonomous car project isn't just continuing to rack up test miles at a furious pace. Mm-hmm. It's accelerating exponentially.
Wow.
John Krafcik, the head of Alphabet, we know who Alphabet owns.
Right.
They own Google.
Google.
Automated Mobility Division has revealed in a new tweet that as of July 18th, Waymo vehicles have now amassed 8 million miles of self-driven testing on public roads.
Yikes.
What's more,
look out.
It's accumulated the last 1 million miles in just 1 month at a rate of 25,000 miles per day.
Wow.
Those are claimed real-world miles, plus an additional 5 billion plus miles in simulation.
Neat.
I think that's us like sitting behind
Xbox or something like that.
Yeah, you know, doing that simulated driving.
No, why not?
Yeah, you can crash the car in simulation.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't hurt anything.
No.
Doesn't cost any money. You
that's
know?
Probably smart of them to do it first.
Anyway, to put that in perspective, we reported on November 28th that the company had hit a total of 4 million miles. Waymo has doubled that number it's driven in just 8 months.
Wow.
Waymo has been at the forefront of automated transportation development since before the division was spun out of Google, and it continues to develop self-driving hardware and software with the mindset that intermediate level 2 and level 3 partially automated systems are a developmental dead end compared to level 4 or 5, which is full autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Waymo's rapid acceleration in testing and evaluation is unlikely to slow anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Earlier this month, the company took delivery of its first three Jaguar I-Pace SUVs.
Of course. They only use the $100,000 electric vehicles for their testing.
For a new batch of
nothing but the Corinthian leather.
The I-Pace SUVs, Jaguars,
it's nice,
are all electric.
Yes, they are.
So they're going to be all electric. And that's on The test vehicles will eventually number 20,000 on top of the company's announcement in May that it plans to purchase 62,000 Chrysler Pacifica hybrid minivans for automated use.
Nice.
So you're going to be tooling around either in a Jaguar I-Pace SUV.
Or a minivan.
Or a Chrysler Pacifica minivan.
With this technology.
Well, yeah, but you won't be driving it.
No, it'll be driving itself.
You'll be sitting in the back seat, you know.
Yeah.
Putting a couple of cold ones or something.
Hopefully you're paying attention to the road. The funny thing is, though, well, if it's not funny or not, on YouTube, you can always find these videos about, you know, how you should not drive. I just happened to run across it last night. I was just, you know, poking around YouTube. And, man, there's people who just can't drive. So maybe autonomous vehicles will reduce our crashes, hopefully, on
the
highways.
Well, that's what they want. Actually, yeah. I think that the government wants autonomous vehicles because they believe that if you take the human element out, there won't be any more accidents.
Right. And if you have less accidents, you'd have less insurance claims, less lawsuits. Everything could be cheaper if it works. I hope it works.
Like the Tesla that crashed into the semi-truck.
Stuff happens. Yeah, they're still working on it.
And the autonomous car that hit that cyclist.
Yeah. Well, and she shouldn't have been watching Hulu. That person was watching Hulu while the car was driving. You got to be that. I don't trust. Well, the problem with us is we don't trust technology the way other folks do. So how could you sit there in a car?
Because we know how the sausage is made.
Yeah, we know how the sausage is made. What, are you crazy? So, watching Hulu while the car's driving is just nutty to me.
Well, you know, I'm out on the road every day, and I see a lot of these people out there. And you know what scares me the most is when I see somebody behind me and their eyes are going up and down.
On the cell phone, I know.
Well, it's not that they're on the cell phone. They're texting while they're driving.
It could be.
And
they're
driving worse than any drunk I ever seen on the road.
I know. There is technology, you'd think, that would stop this issue.
Well, some cars, I've noticed that there are cars that actually block you from using that technology when you're in motion.
Well, not on your own cell phone, though. They don't have the way to do that.
But I can't manipulate, let's say, my GPS while I'm driving. I have to pull over.
Well, that's also truly annoying. If I've got a co-pilot, like the wife, she can type in the address. Not in my minivan. I must stop. It's like, look, I'm a responsible driver. I can let the co-pilot type in the address. Thankfully, with Android Auto, going through my dashboard, I can do that. And then I override the Honda thing. That's saving my life. But it's ridiculous. I mean, there's levels of this technology. I mean, your smartphone you should not be using, obviously, while you're driving. You shouldn't be looking up and down. You shouldn't be texting. All that has to happen. It's got to stop, and we have to figure out how to do it. I'm sure there is. I'm sure Blumenthal's working on that.
Yeah. I would tend to think that a lot of these rear-ender crashes we see almost every day on the highway is because of that, because I see so many people texting.
I just saw one on the Berlin Turnpike. She literally just drove right into the back of a stopped car. Yeah. She was not paying attention. Bonk. Runs right into it. So in other news, speaking of Blumenthal, because he talked about last week how he was going to save us from our smart TVs, and he was one, he submitted to Samsung a request to find out if the TVs were tracking us, tracking our what we watch on TV and where we surf. So I thought it was kind of funny. This is an October 2014 article, because we kind of talked about the fact that this is old news, guys. So we have an article that you can review, how to turn off smart TV tracking. It's a four-year-old article, so clearly
another incident where not just Senator Blumenthal, but most politicians, I think, are a day late, and that makes us a dollar short.
I was going to say, they're definitely not a dollar short. So they even break it down by manufacturer, Samsung. Samsung tracks how you use your smart TV. If you agree to its T's and C's, if you decline, you can't access the smart TV service. If you do agree, you can stop the TV tracking your viewing habits by declining the recommendations privacy notice in the Smart Hub settings of menu. So this goes down each manufacturer. This is a four-year-old article about how to stop your TV from tracking you. So it's, again, some of these senators are a little behind the IT technology. And by the way, Facebook's watching what you're doing too.
So does that mean in order for me to actually make it work, I have to buy a four-year-old smart TV?
I don't think so. But the opt-out stuff is really getting annoying to me, too. You really shouldn't have to opt out. It should be by default that you are opted out. Yeah, you have to be opted in, really should be the requirement. And that really should be a simple law written in eighth grade language so that anybody can say, look, if you want to have your tracking, you need to opt in. It should be simple.
Well, you know what they should do, as far as I'm concerned,
is
they should send out one of those annoying little pop-ups that comes up on your screen and say, oh, if you want to use this service or you want this feature, you must opt in.
They do that too, though. That's the problem. So the product doesn't even work unless you do opt in.
But that's fine, but at least you have a choice.
Yeah.
Rather than opting you in and forcing you to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't want this information shared.
Well, and speaking of that, Google just got hit with a $5 billion fine from the EU. I don't know if you have that article or not.
I don't have it with me, but yeah, I read the article earlier.
It had to do with the fact that they offer Chrome, and supposedly you can't use other browsers on your phone, but you can. Not a problem. And then they have that search bar below where it's that Google search bar. And the EU is saying, hey, you can't monopolize the Android phone that the person purchased realizing it's from Google. if they don't want to. Guys, if you buy an Android device, you realize it's an Android device. If you buy an Apple device, you're probably going to use Safari, and you're probably going to use Siri. Probably using Google Assistant on an Apple is probably pretty hard. Mm. Obviously, these companies are all trying to get in their own ecosphere. And so good luck to the EU. I mean, America tried to do this with Microsoft and way back when with
Windows 95.
Yeah, 95 and Internet Explorer. And I guess we won, sort of.
Yeah, Mr. Blumenthal was involved right on top of that.
He was involved in that, too. So we'll see what the EU does for their $5 billion fine. We got to step out for a quick break. We got two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSCs that comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go on to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Paul in Naugatuck. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Eric, Bob. I have a question. My computer, I have a Dell. It just starts popping up recently. It says low disk space in the right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Lower. You are running out of disk space on local disk F. Click here to see if you can free space on this disk.
I know.
I click on it.
It's tiny. Well, yeah. Basically what it is you're running Windows 10, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Windows 10 had an update, and during the update, they forgot to rehide that drive from the system.
Okay.
It's basically a system recovery drive, most likely. And it's labeled F for you. And
right.
It's running out of, it's not technically running out of space. It's just a little tiny partition that is very small, and Windows is saying, hey, this is small. I wonder if Paul knows that. Go ahead.
Nothing gets written on that drive. That's why it's not really running out of space. Right. It is what it is.
But it's driving
annoying,
you nuts.
But
it's driving you nuts, right, Paul?
It's very annoying.
Yeah. Well, Microsoft, what can I say? This is a common issue.
Should I click on that to see if you can free space?
No, you have to rehide it. Freeing up space is basically just as insane because what you're trying to do is fix something that's not broken.
I gotcha.
Welcome to Microsoft.
I got it.
Yeah. So, and they really shouldn't be telling you it's broken because they just are ding-a-lings and don't realize that your drive is the hidden drive that they make on purpose. When they set the system up, it's so stupid. It's ridiculous.
They could have just,
oh my goodness,
fixed the update and reissued it.
Well, forget that.
you know,
and this happens almost every other update. This is not the first time this happens. This happens more than once, I think. So we've got links from past shows, Paul, and we can put the link up there again to show you how to hide that drive letter again from Microsoft, so it doesn't tell you it's running out of space of a drive it should know it's not running out of space for.
So I'll just go on your LinkedIn and find it. Okay.
Yeah, it's a couple simple steps. You're going to go in there and you're going to change the properties of the drive to be rehidden, and that'll stop the operating system from losing its mind.
I got you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Paul.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. That's the thing about technology. It's supposed to make our lives easier. It's supposed to be smart. That's the whole irony of a smart house. How can we divine a smart house, and how can we come up with a smart car if the operating system of a computer in the year 2018 can't realize that the component that is supposed to be hidden is not running out of space? I know programmers out there are going to say, oh, there's a lot of code, Eric, in the operating system. Yeah, there is. Millions and millions of lines. But you've written this operating system a bazillion times over. Doesn't it seem kind of stupid?
Well, what happened to the little script that they have that says, unhide
and then rehide
this hidden drive?
Right.
Give it a letter, do the update, hide the drive so that it's now hidden again.
It's crazy. And you just got to ask yourself, if they can't do that right.
I mean, that's a process that should be written down. It should be ingrained in their company.
Yeah.
I mean,
and people we all make mistakes. They're all done by humans, right? But come on. We've gotten that call now, and Matt can be our witness. So many times.
Well, we posted to it last week.
And we've done it the week before. Oh, yeah.
And the week before that.
Come on, Microsoft. Get on the ball. All right, so we got about 1 minute, Matt? No, we don't. Literally 1 minute. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. So feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And let us know if you have any questions, comments, and concerns with your computers. Also, got a friend whose brother had put some money down on his $35,000 Model 3 Tesla, and now it's not available, and he's pretty cranky. So he pulled the deposit and said, I'm going to go find a different car. Are you one of those folks who are a little disappointed in the fact that Tesla has pretty much removed the possibility of buying an affordable Tesla for the foreseeable future? They insist it'll be available someday, but most of the test drives of these Model 3s, the thing is priced out at $78,000, so you're not looking at an affordable car yet. So were you one of those guys that
I thought
they
were supposed to be $35,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're gone. So I'm just curious if you're one of those guys. We'll be right back. Or gals. And we're back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you. I know it's a gorgeous Saturday morning, and the rest of the week is going to stink. And you want to enjoy the weather while you got it. But we're here, Pasty White Computer Geeks, here in the studio, trying to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online. Also, I'm curious to see how you did with your Amazon Prime day. We have a story about that where Amazon on the 16th was a mess. All you saw was pictures of dogs when you tried to order stuff. I'm not a big online ordering guy, but I happen to need to buy a few MP3s for a mix CD that I put together for our family, and it was like pulling teeth just to surf that and try to get to purchase the silly MP3s.
How they fixed it was kind of interesting.
They reboot the server?
No, they didn't have enough servers to handle the volume.
I know.
And
aren't they supposed to be
Amazon
Web Services?
They blocked all the Europeans from being able to purchase on Amazon in order to cut down the volume.
Not the Europe. That sounds horrible.
Oh, yeah.
They kept out the Europeans?
I'm surprised that the EU won't fine them for
it. Holy moly. Trump didn't tweet that? Something about that? Holy moly.
Oh, yeah.
That was their solution keep Europe out?
You got to read this article because it's kind of interesting. This reportedly happened 15 minutes after Prime Day, a 36-hour sale featuring more than 1 million deals, kicked off at noon Pacific time on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon reportedly had to manually add servers to try to keep up with the traffic surge. Experts who reviewed the documents told CNBC this indicated the company's auto-scaling feature might not have been working leading up to the crash. About an hour after Prime Day kicked off, an update on the status of Amazon servers said, currently out of capacity for scaling. Looking for at scavenging hardware. So
now this is the biggest cloud on the planet, and it can't handle.
Yeah, AWS.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Oops.
A breakdown enables Amazon's internal computational storage system reportedly led to glitches across Prime authentication and video playback.
Right.
A status update a little earlier at 1 p.m. Pacific time gave Sable Red emergency It gave Sable a red emergency alert and said it was running hot and cannot scale, according to CNBC.
Oh, my gosh.
We were experiencing failures, mostly related to Sable, an update reportedly said.
Wow.
Alexa, Prime, Now, and Twitch also experienced issues on Prime Day.
Oh, no.
Some warehouses reportedly couldn't scan products or pack orders for a while. So they had all those people hanging around with nothing to do, and they're paying them. You know?
Well, there were also, a lot of them were also striking. On top of that, they had some pretty upset workers.
So even after putting up a scaled-down fallback front page and restricting international traffic...
And showing all the dog pictures.
Amazon site's error rate reportedly got worse until about 1.05 p.m. Pacific time and improved drastically at 1.10 p.m. Pacific time.
Mm.
A person familiar with the matter told CNBC that the office was chaotic with more than 300 people joining an emergency conference call at one point.
Oh, that's a massive committee.
That's why they couldn't fix it. They were all on the conference call.
Why don't we try this? Yeah, exactly. I was trying to just literally buy some MP3s, and that was probably around 7 o'clock in the evening, Eastern time, and all I was getting was dog pictures.
Well, there's a line here close to the end of the article. It says, Amazon didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. That's because they were all working on the systems being down.
They're scavenging some old hardware. All right, let's get to your calls. We have three lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to go to Larry in Atlanta, Georgia. Morning, Larry. How are you?
Guys, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for listening down there.
Thank you so much. I'm kind of a computer novice.
All right.
My challenge is I travel a lot, and I've got a couple of hundred email addresses of people I met, you know, on different trips.
Yeah.
And I would love to find an easy way to keep in touch with them, you know, using emails.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea about social networking, so can you guys give me some good advice, some guidance as to how I could do this?
So you want to just understand how to better deal with your contacts and email?
Well, I've got hundreds of emails, right? And so is there an efficient way of using my email addresses to keep in touch with all these people?
It depends on how you want to keep in touch with them, but generally you're looking at a contact manager, and Outlook would work. Have you used Outlook before?
I have not, no.
Okay. So I would recommend you look at Microsoft Outlook. And basically, you would then create contacts within Outlook based on those email addresses, and you'd build these contacts over time. And then you'd know, you know, my address would be in there, Bob's address would be in there, Sam's address would be in there.
And
it's all based on you entering the emails into a contact manager, though.
Well, you can typically right-click on an email and add them into your contact list.
On the fly. While you're using Outlook.
In Outlook. And then the other thing you can do, if you want to send out the same message to a bunch of people, you can create groups. So you can create groups with the contacts that you've accumulated.
Right.
So then... By using a group, you can send out one email to multiple people all at once.
Or you can.
Wow, fantastic! Okay. I'm sorry, guys.
You can blind CC. You can carbon copy as well, with even without groups. If you know you have only a few email addresses, you want it to kind of pop in the blind CC or the CC of an email. You could do that too. But you got to start with a product, and I think Outlook is a good one to start with.
Now let me ask you: on Outlook, are there any limitations to how many emails you can have in one group? I think some programs have that. I mean, is it unlimited?
pretty much for what you would do, I bet, Larry, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, you're not going to run out of space or the number of contacts you can have in Outlook.
And I would recommend just purchasing the product. You could rent it from Microsoft forever if you wish with their 365, but they still right now give you the ability to buy it once. So you can go out and buy the Office Suite, $250 or so. And that'll include Word and Excel as well. I think you can buy Outlook by itself, but it's probably going to be about $100 and so.
It's almost as much by itself as it is to buy it in the suite.
In the bundle, yeah.
Guys, let me ask you a last question. Are there any, if you know, are there any, what they call it, freeware programs that I can use that have the same features that Outlook would have?
So not that come to mind. And you could take a look at Thunderbird. It might have a contact management, which is an email tool that might have contact management built in, but it may not be as good as Outlook. I have not used it. We use Outlook all the time because of what we do in our business.
Outside of Outlook, from the clients that I've seen, when they purchase a contact management software, it's usually more expensive.
Right.
Because one of the things with Outlook is it works best when it's used in conjunction with an Exchange server.
Mm, yes. It'll be better for that, yeah. But so, in your case, you probably have Pop Mail, so it'll probably still work, but you're going to manage your contacts. So check out Thunderbird. I bet you it's got a bit of a contact management system in there. We'll put a link to Thunderbird for you as an email client option.
Okay. But, guys, last question. You mentioned, would I have to have the server for this? Or I can
use
Pop Mail?
You've got Pop Mail now, right? You've got your mail from a third party, you can use Pop Mail.
Yeah.
You just got to configure the mailbox in Outlook.
Guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Larry. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
So I said a call from Georgia.
There you go.
That might be the first one. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go more locally. We're going to go to Perry in Stafford Springs. Hey, Perry, were you on earlier?
Good morning. Yes, I was.
I
had another call come in and had to re-get in line.
I felt bad. I felt bad when I saw you drop off, so I'm sorry, too.
No problem. On startup, I'm getting a message that this code execution cannot proceed because, and then it gives me a rather lengthy deal here. It's /user/roaming/verizon/UA_AR/MFC90.dil. Was not found. Reinstating the program may fix the problem.
Sounds like you've got a Verizon program on that computer.
Okay.
Do you?
I believe so, yes.
All right. So reinstating it is kind of like saying reinstalling it. You may want to uninstall it and reinstall it. Go ahead, Bob. Bob has another thought, though. He thinks he might have seen this before.
If you uninstall it, you want to follow that path. You've written it down, which is very good. Follow that path down, and then when you get into that local or local low or whatever, what you call it, rename that folder. So when you reinstall it, it creates a new one. Because if there's a corrupt file or something, when you reinstall it, you may have the same error. By renaming it, it creates a new one with all new files in it.
What Verizon tool are you using, Perry, on your computer? Is it for your bill or something?
I'm really not sure. I'm going to have to go into the programs and double-check that. I had a problem with that some time ago where it was wanting to update, and it was kind of a generic message to update. And I talked to you guys, and you were able to nail it down to a Verizon update.
Hmm. We fixed it for you?
Yep.
That's good to know.
Great job.
we always just hope we're helping people in general.
There you go. You're bigger help than you think.
Good. So this is probably related to that, again, that Verizon program.
My guess would be it's probably like the backup.
Yeah, maybe have you connected your phone to your computer lately?
No, actually, I haven't.
Hmm.
I've done that in the past transferring pictures and yeah. that sort of thing.
That's what probably is happening. You probably have a tool there that's kind of sitting around and failing. So yeah, so like Bob said, you can navigate to that entire directory string that you gave us and rename that last directory to old, right, Bob?
Right.
And that way, then you would want to try to find the Verizon software and just you can uninstall it and then forget about it. I mean, if you don't need it anymore, who cares,
yeah,
right?
And then you can delete yeah. that folder.
Yeah, so you could just do that and then delete the folder, like Bob said, or try to reinstall it again. But that might be harder to do if you don't know where the software is coming from. It may load automatically when you plug in your phone. It might say, oh, I got to load this automatically for you, but I'm not sure. If you don't care to use it right now, I would just uninstall it.
Or when you plug it in, it might say, click here to download the Verizon, whatever it is, manager right. or backup
right.
utility, yeah. whatever it is.
Yeah. All right. So very good. I yeah. appreciate it.
You're welcome, Perry.
Thanks a lot. Have right. a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, again, getting rid of it if you're not going to use it probably makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have four lines open for you, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we talked about has been posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. The name of the show, .com, also works. And if you go to Facebook and like us on Facebook and over at Tab Computer Systems and Mark Zuckerberg deems it worthy, our stuff might get into your newsfeed. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter right below Donald Trump at Tab Computer Sys. You can follow us, all the crazy stuff right below, you know, we're right there, Tab Computer Sys on Twitter. It'll get right into your newsfeed as well. Again, if Twitter deems it worthy, these days you don't even know if stuff's getting into your newsfeed or not, or if they deem it worthy or not, or it's just all crazy talk. I don't know. It probably is. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock today, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. Four lines open on this Saturday morning. I know it's gorgeous. I know it's going to be kind of a crappy week, and you're like, I'm going to enjoy the weather, Eric. Well, I got it. I'm not going to call some geek in a studio. But we're here to help you out. Feel free to get online. And we'll read some news here as we wait for your calls. British Airways, they've had issues in the past. They have a system, and it's called the Amadeus system. And just recently, they had a huge failure that caused the grounding of flights around the world. And when I say just recently, it was a couple days ago. And basically, it was from their Amadeus system. And I was hoping that Matt would give us the ability to bump into that. Because how often do you get a chance to play the Amadeus tune from the 80s? But they found that they couldn't get people on the plane because they're waiting for a load sheet. And so basically a load sheet has to do with knowing what you have for fuel weight, cargo weight, and people weight. So British Airways knew where they wanted to go. They had all the people paid for. All of them are sitting in the terminal ready to go. But this silly cloud-based system called Amadeus was down. And they couldn't print out the load sheet. So they couldn't leave. They need to make sure that the plane's not going to fall out of the sky because it's overweight. And this is starting to get ridiculous. We're hearing this over and over and over again about these cloudy systems that go down and entire airlines or entire airports are down. Now, when we work with our customers that deal with simple things like scheduling, right? And they've got a medical billing system or a EHR system that relies upon scheduling, where you're going to have a patient walk in the door, and if your system's down, you're not going to know what the schedule is. So what do we recommend they do? Print it out. Print a couple days out ahead in advance just in case something goes down. I guess the folks at British Airways, even though Amadeus has gone down over and over and over again, have not done that. Now, I don't know how instantaneous they're going to get that load sheet. Like, you know, what did they do back in the 70s when they all did it by hand? But you'd think you could print this out in advance and know if your plane's going to be too heavy or not so they could take off. That's all it is. Is my plane going to be too heavy or not? But nope, they're not preparing for that. They're all just sitting around twiddling thumbs waiting for Amadeus to come back up. I'll put the link up here for you, but you should see all the upset Twitter posts happening.
What happened if Amadeus got a virus and, you know, had to take a few days off to rest and get well?
Yeah. There's people that are just incensed about having to be sitting around for something this silly. So come on, guys. I know the cloud is
a great
thing.
But we don't want to waste paper. Come on. We got to lower our carbon footprint.
I know there's that. But you got to come up with some redundancies. You can't expect the system to always be up. You're kind of silly to keep thinking that it's going to always be up. You need some backups. You need to have some manual backups that work so that you're not relying on this. What else you got, Bob? Anything else you want to bring up?
Oh, yeah. I got NASA aims for Moon Space Station for live-in astronauts in the next 10 years.
10 years, really?
Yeah, the Gateway would linger in lunar orbit, making long-term missions feasible.
Okay,
NASA is reportedly planning to place a small space station in the Moon's orbit by the mid-2020s. The Lunar Orbital Platform Gateway facility would make regular manned missions to the moons more feasible, USA Today reports, as the private sector companies get to the business of sending stuff into space.
Now, nice. So they'll be the station, and they'll let SpaceX send stuff back and forth.
Just as a call,
yeah,
or whatever. Can you tell me when was the last time we had men on the moon?
What year?
Yeah, what year?
74-ish, 75-ish? I don't know. Early 70s.
Yeah. Maybe we can offer a prize for somebody to call.
We don't have any prizes. What do you mean? We're a low-budget operation. Prizes.
Okay.
How close was I?
1972.
Oh, pretty close.
Anyway. Yeah, it's been 72 since we put a man on the moon.
And some people don't think we put anybody on the moon. We won't even go there.
Well, I know where that studio is.
Oh, you do? So since 72. All right. Well, I remember the show Space 1999, right? Wasn't that a show where they had those? I used to love that as a kid.
They had more space shows than you can count.
We should have been up there by now.
The best one was Star Trek. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, of course it was. You know? All right. So we're going to be up there in the next 10 years, and then we'll have the new Space Force guarding it, right?
Well, yeah.
Isn't that where Trump's got the Space Force? Anyway. We'll have our stormtroopers up there guarding the moon base. That's good.
So there's this company, Moon Express, was founded in 2010 with the goal of scouting and mining moon for resources. It's been working to lower the cost of robotic lunar missions.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's more that's in here. But, yeah,
I think
that's a good idea, and it'd probably be more economical to send a mission to Mars.
If you're going to hop off the moon?
If you stage on the moon. Yeah. And the other thing is you see, that changes the strategy, because during the Obama administration, they wanted to send missions straight to Mars.
Okay.
So
there's Amadeus. Of all the songs we've never got a chance to play, there's a great one to play. All right, so we're going to get to the moon soon, in 10 years. Feel free to get online, guys. We have three lines open for you. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We will do our best to help you out with the computer comments, questions, and concerns. We're here until 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. Everything we've talked about has been posted, tweeted, and Facebooked. If you like us on Facebook over at Tab Computer Systems, it'll get into your news feed. And if you go to the old-fashioned website at computertalkwithtab.com, yes, the name of the show.com, you can get there as well. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.